When we meditate on emptiness, we're searching for the deeper mode in which all phenomena exist. Because things appear to us to be very real and solid, to be out there, existing on their own, independently. But when we do a little bit of exploration and analysis to see if we can find the things that appear so vividly to us, then it becomes very difficult actually to find them. And by searching in this way, we come to realize that they're empty of existing in all the fantasized ways that we've thought they existed. There's many techniques for meditating on emptiness. The one we're going to do here is called the four-point analysis. And so here the first point is to identify the object to be refuted. And so that's the independent, solid, inherently existent I or self. So to get a sense of that, remember a time when you had a very strong emotion. Perhaps you were really angry or jealous or extremely self-conscious and embarrassed or completely attached and obsessed with something. So bring to mind a very strong negative emotion and let it arise in that way. And with one corner of your mind, just get a sense of how the I appears to exist. Like when we say, I'm angry, or they cheated me. What's the sense of the I? How does the I appear to us? And so really try and get an experiential feeling of how you feel that the I exists during these times. So really try and make a vivid sense of I appear. Like when you're really mad or really self-conscious. And then think, if the I existed the way it appears to me, if there were this very solid I that seems to set itself up, then I should be able to find it. If it really exists, then the closer I look, the more apparent it should become. And there's only two possibilities. to search for it. One is among its parts, in other words, within the body and mind. And the other is to look for the I, the self, as totally separate from the body and mind. So that's the second point, understanding that if it exists, there's only two possibilities where to find it, in the part or separate from the part. So come to some conclusion that there's no third possibility where to search for the I. And the third step is to actually begin that search. So remember, we're looking for this very solid, inherent I, this one that seems so strong, like when you're afraid, that sense of I. So let's look within the parts. Let's look within the base. Let's look within the body and the mind. So with part of your mind, have that vivid appearance of that solid I. And with another part of your mind, look inside your body and see if you can find it there. Sometimes the I appears to be inside of our head. I'm here. But is our head the I? If you look inside your skull, is the brain the self? Can you find anything physical inside there that is you? That you feel, this is me? So in a similar way, look through all the other parts of your body. Sometimes we feel that I'm inside my chest, I'm in my heart. But again, if we look inside there, there's a heart, there's lungs, the chest cavity. Are any of those organs me? Can we find anything physical and say, that's me, that's who I am? So check within your body, see if you can find something that's me inside this body, something physical that's me. And come to the conclusion that the body's not me. I am not the body. And then again, still looking for this solid, inherent, strong feeling of I, the self that appears to be so real. Look in your mind, all the different aspects of consciousness. Is your visual consciousness you? your auditory consciousness. Olfactory consciousness, taste consciousness, body consciousness, any of those you. Then we think maybe the mental consciousness is me. But which mental consciousness is me? The one that's sleeping? The one that's dreaming? The one that's awake? We're looking for a solid eye, so we have to find one thing that is it. We have to corner it, identify it, find this thing that appears so real. So what is it? If it's our mind, we have to find which part of our mind is me. Am I my anger? Am I my attachment? And as we do this, we realize that if we say, I am one particular aspect of my mind, then that thing has got to be me. And it's got to do all the things that I do. It's the only thing that's me. So that wouldn't make very much sense. Because even if we say, my mind is me, then what is the self when we say I'm walking? Is that equivalent to say my mind is walking? That doesn't make any sense. So then would we have to have more than one self? One self that's the body, one self that's the mind. But then we would need a different self for each part of the mind, for each part of the body. That doesn't make any sense either. So exploring every part of your body, every part of your mind, every aspect of your mind, try and find that I, that me, that we try and protect and hold on to and gratify. That me that wants to be successful and recognized and well known. What is it? Who is it? Is it somewhere in the body and mind? So search. can come to a very firm conclusion that you can't find that solid I anywhere in the body and mind. It's not there, completely not there. Then let's look in the other place, the only other place where we can try and find this independent I. It's not one with the body and mind. So is it totally, completely separate from the body and mind? If the self were totally separate from the body and mind, then our body and mind could be here and I could be across the room. Does that make any sense? Can the I exist totally separately from the body and mind? So the body and mind are one place doing one thing, and the self, the I, is somewhere else doing something else? Can you find a self that's completely independent of the body and mind? And if you can, what are the qualities of that self? What does it do? If you say, well, it thinks. Well, no, that's not the self, because it's the mind that thinks. So you have to try and find a self that's completely separate and does something completely unrelated to the body and mind. So look and see if you can find yourself that way. So come to a very firm understanding that such a solid I doesn't exist anywhere separate from the body and mind either. And so what we have after searching for this real thing that is me, we've searched in the body and mind, we've searched separate from them. There's no third place to search. So that means that such a solid, inherently existent I is completely non-existent, doesn't exist anywhere. Can't find it anywhere. So stay with that non-finding of such a solid I, that absence, that emptiness, the non-finding of what you thought was so solid. The fact that we can't find an inherently existent I doesn't mean that there's no self at all. It means there's no inherently existent self, but there is a conventionally existent one. And that one exists by being merely labeled by term and concept independence on the valid base. The collection of body and mind. It's just a merely labeled I. Very fine, very subtle, that exists. But it can't set itself up. Can't find it when you analyze and search for it. It's just an appearance.